The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days, and how many of these people have been living this way for so long, well, they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition that I call acceptance. They're guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as, well, the way it is. Unfortunately, they don't know any other way to be. Well, not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is the platform that helps change lives one body at a time. Well, it weighs less than 2% of your overall body weight, yet it consumes over 20% of the oxygen your body requires on a moment-to-moment basis. It's a virtual sugar hog. In fact, it uses over half of your body's circulating sugars just to run its intricate biochemistry. It's about the size of a cantaloupe. It looks pink because of the amount of blood that's required to feed it, and it somewhat resembles a wrinkled walnut. I'm pretty sure you know I'm talking about that most prized of possessions, the one that sits between your ears, your noggin. Yes, the human brain is an amazing wonder, one that allows us to do everything it is we do, the majority of which we unfortunately take for granted. Well, that is until it starts to decline. It's believed that we reach the peak of our brain function by the tender age of 35. I'm sorry to say, but after that, well, it's kind of all downhill. Well, for at least the majority of us, it is. The good news is it doesn't have to be. Newer research shows that we no longer have to accept the so-called inevitable loss of our brain function as we get older. In fact, the research is so encouraging that we may be able to actually reverse signs of cognitive decline and possibly never ever experience the dreaded diseases of things like Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or dementia. After all, there is no worse disease than outliving your own intelligence. As Robert Frost once said, the brain is a wonderful organ. It starts working the moment you get up in the morning, and it doesn't stop until you get into the office. Today's guest is someone I have personally admired for many years. One of his earlier books, Optimum Sports Nutrition, had a profound effect on my decision to become a sports nutritionist. He is widely regarded as the father of sports nutrition. However, he really is so much more than that. He's an internationally renowned research scientist and one of the world's most popular scientific experts in nutrition, exercise science, and the inhibition of aging. To discuss his life-changing book, Save Your Brain, please welcome the past director and president and now the chairman of the board of the famous Colgan Institute, Dr. Michael Colgan. Welcome to Transforming Health.
Well, thanks for such a great introduction, Brad.
Well, you're well deserving of it. I mean, you and I, our paths have crossed a few times. We've seen each other at various lectures. I mean, you have been lecturing at some of those venues, and I have as well. We've seen each other at various health shows, and, you know, we've spoken very, very briefly. We've never really had enough time to have a conversation. I really want you to know that all of your work really has had a profound effect on, you know, the direction within my life and the research that I take. And one of the things I wanted to start off with, because I love the book, by the way, Save Your Brain. I think it's, you know, absolutely phenomenal. It's written in the exact same light as all of your other books, where you don't just give the information that people need to change their lives. You explain what that does, like how these things occur within the body in the first place. And, you know, you get right into the chemistry but you explain it in a layman-friendly manner. So even if there's somebody that's reading your book, they don't have to have a background in science to really understand it, because you really do that good a job. I called you about half an hour ago and I said, you know, Dr. Colgan, is there anything that stands out for you more than anything else? What would you like to discuss that, you know, you just, you know, you'd actually be a little upset if you didn't get to discuss? And you spoke about a lecture that you recently gave at Oxford University, and I want you to kind of start off with that, the discussion of neurogenesis, because I couldn't think of any better way to really start the show today.
Okay, Brad. Well, it's a very exciting time in medicine, because we're on the verge, and in fact into it now, in the greatest revolution in medicine that's ever going to be, and that is to be able to control the degeneration of the human brain. Now, it wasn't until 1998 that Fred Gage at the Salk Institute proved that neurogenesis occurred. When we went to medical school many years ago, in fact, right up to the present in some cases, we're taught that the brain gets a certain number of cells at birth, and then we gradually decline from adulthood until old age. Well, in 1998, Fred Gage showed that that was not so, that neurogenesis occurs in humans in an area of the brain called the hippocampus. And that is particularly important because that's the area that degenerates in Alzheimer's disease. And so it caused a great deal of interest around the world. And now, with there's been hundreds of experiments since, of course, it hasn't hit the press much yet. It's pretty complicated. But just to put it very briefly, we have an area called the subventricular zone and another area in the hippocampus where there are lots of progenitor cells, the cells that may or may not become fully fledged neurons. And we didn't know how or whether it happened in humans until 1998. And now we know that if you get these progenitor cells moving, they literally pop up, they line up like little soldiers, and following a chemical trail, they go to the part of the brain that is damaged, and they set up house there and become neurons and other supporting cells. And that is mind-blowing.
It is
compared to our other previous knowledge.
So are these, in a sense, like little brain stem cells?
That's what they are, exactly. They're brain stem cells.
So
we don't like to call them stem cells because they're not exactly the same. But it's been an absolutely amazing work because, of course, as soon as people said that this occurred and proved it beyond doubt in humans, then other investigators started saying, well, okay, then people who really have to exercise that hippocampus and exercise their memory in a very profound way, they should have bigger hippocampi than people who don't.
Right.
And so they measured people that have to have, you know, very specific types of knowledge, and where they could get inexperienced and experienced people sort of in a good group. And one of the sets of measurements was of London taxi drivers. Now, London taxi drivers have to do what's called the knowledge, and they have to pass it, and it takes several years to learn. That is the familiarity with all the London streets. And so that intense learning that they have to go through, that period, that should show in their brain. And absolute, this man called Frankowiak at London University showed that that was exactly the case. Their hippocampi grew bigger.
So, I mean, this is obviously, and this is part of the same research that, in a sense, we're calling neuroplasticity, is it not?
Yes, indeed. I'm working using the program of the man who invented the world, invented the world. Yeah, he feels
so
like
you're
that
to me. You're working with God, basically.
Yes. Michael Mersnich at the University of California in San Francisco developed a computerized learning program for the brain, of which has been copied and plagiarized many times now by all sorts of companies. But essentially, it teaches the brain to grow new cells. And, of course, you can say all that, and you can measure, you know, improvements in memory and things because it does generalize. But the difference in the Mersnich studies is he verified the growth of the brain with a functional MRIs before and after. And that sealed it. That
unbelievable.
Made people accept it.
So this is one of the reasons, obviously, and you know, your background is, as much as your background is in medicine and nutrition, you're obviously very well known for your work in exercise science. And, you know, this brings up a very important issue, because let's talk about this, and then we'll get into the other areas of that neuroplasticity, so people really realize there are things they can do at any single age to reverse a lot of that damage. But
yes.
How important is exercise for our
Well, body? Of course, I studied that, and that was one of my major presentations in Britain, you know, a couple of universities, and especially at the SENS conference at Cambridge. And there are, since 2004, there have been a number of studies, and I think of Van Praag in the Journal of Neuroscience, exercise enhances the learning and hippocampal neurogenesis in animals. And it led to work in 2006 to 2009 showing that, in fact, it does the same thing in humans. Now, there are specific qualities of the exercise that are really important.
Okay, so what are those?
Well, first of all, if you force animals to exercise, it doesn't work.
Okay.
So if you force people to exercise, it probably doesn't work.
But isn't that what people normally do, force themselves to exercise?
The yes, majority and of them? You see, that's what that apparently is pretty much a mistake if you want neurogenesis.
Okay.
But the exercise has got to be progressively physically challenging. In other words, it's not something like you go into your aerobics class and you start chatting to your neighbor and you have a juice afterwards and you do the same one the week after week after week. It's got to be absolutely progressive.
Does it have to be with weights? Can it be cardio?
It can be any type of exercise.
So is it the oxygen that it's bringing to the brain that's increasing this?
It's partly that you obviously get more oxygen to the brain, but it's the characteristics of the exercise, too. The one thing it has to be is it has to be multisensory challenging. That is, it's not just got to be a dull-like movement exercise like you might say, you know, a bodybuilding set on a machine.
Right.
Which is sort of controlled and obvious, and you don't have to do anything except that sit there and contract the muscle. Now, they found that the exercise is much better if it involves balance and coordination challenges.
Very interesting.
Yes.
So the new way, so to speak, of working out, the core stability types of exercises, are you saying those may be a little better than...
I think so. You know, I'm working myself on this with people who have mild cognitive impairment and people who have traumatic brain injury, and we've got a very specific program. That's why I know so much about it. And the other thing about balance and coordination challenging is that focuses your attention, and that's another of the characteristics. You have to be focused. It's nothing that you can do and, say, read a book at the same time or talk to people.
Right.
Very focused.
You know, the other interesting thing is the majority of us, and you study so much on, you know, biological as opposed to chronological aging, and the number one reason we age has been shown to be the loss of lean body mass, particularly our muscle tissue.
A very big reason.
But it's also been shown that when we lose muscle, we also lose the cerebral spinal fluid itself. So there's obviously more of a connection than we really realize there is.
Yes, that's the thing that comes from the neurogenesis caused by exercise, that everything we do is a neuromuscular reaction. And if we cut the neural part out of it by making it a habit, making it dull, or making it forced, then it doesn't work.
Very interesting. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today, the incredible Dr. Michael Colgan. The book we're discussing is Save Your Brain, and it's time you saved your brain. Get out a piece of paper and a pencil. We're going to be talking a little later about the nutrients that you need to become accustomed to in order to start saving your own brain. We'll be right back after these messages.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Holistic living is nutrition for not just your body, but your mind and your soul. Holistic nutrition goes far beyond the foods that we eat or the supplements that we take. Discover natural means to heal your body and regain your innate healing powers. That's Holistic Living with Tina Marie Jones on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Tune in for your weekly dose of good holistic living.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had some place to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Every system requires a director in order to make sure things work properly. Without a battery, well, a car would never have the energy to start its engine. Without a central processing unit, a computer would never be able to perform a simple task. And we would obviously be absolutely nothing without the intricate workings of our brain. Nothing could be more frustrating than declining mental function that eventually leads to forgetfulness and dementia and more severe disorders like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. All of which, by the way, have an inflammatory component. The brain is probably one of the last areas anyone would ever connect with signs of inflammation. However, more and more research is now indicating that inflammation not only plays a part in brain disorders like Alzheimer's, it may actually be one of the main causes. One of the telltale signs of brain inflammation lies within the presence of specialized brain cells called microglial cells. These microglial cells are only activated during inflammatory reactions and are therefore a measure of brain inflammation. Well, researchers from the Department of Neurology in Massachusetts have discovered that high concentrations of microglial cells in the brains of those suffering from neurological disorders are always present. And aside from being found at elevated levels in age-related degenerative conditions like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's and even things like ALS, microglial cells have also been found in the otherwise believed to be healthy older population. In fact, there was research from the University of British Columbia here in Canada that indicated that brain inflammation, which is often accompanied by oxidative stress, is believed to be a contributing factor to the degeneration of the brain that's actually seen in normal aging. Joining me is one of the most respected nutritional scientists of our time. He was a senior member of the science faculty of the University of Auckland, New Zealand. He was a visiting scholar at Rockefeller University in New York and is now chairman of the board of the famous Colgan Institute. To discuss his book, Save Your Brain, please welcome back Dr. Michael Colgan. Dr. Colgan, what I thought we would do, just for those of the people that are just joining us, we were talking about, you know, neuroplasticity and the neurogenesis and all of this research that's showing, you know, we're not necessarily just born with a set number of cells within the brain and those decline. We have the ability to actually work with what we have and perhaps even produce new brain cells. But What about all these people that sit back and do absolutely nothing and then point to their family heritage and say, well, you know, no matter what I do, I'm eventually going to experience Alzheimer's or Parkinson's because it's in my family tree.
Right.
You see other.
Well, there are about five genetic clusters that are associated with more frequent occurrence of Alzheimer's. But, and I get this question all the time. I get case people ringing up and wanting, you know, some help because they've been to their local GP and he says, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. If it's genetic, you'll get it. If you don't, you're lucky. So I just give them the stats on it. Around about 5% of people who have most of the genes for Alzheimer's or any of the five complexes, only about 5% of them actually develop it, senility or Alzheimer's, earlier than anyone else.
Okay.
So it is an indication, but it's not a biggie. I mean, it's a 95% chance of you not developing it.
So it's that nature versus nurture.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess it is that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it always comes down to, it seems to anyway. One of the things that I found absolutely fascinating, and it kind of falls under that overall realm, if you will, you say that brain damage that's experienced in normal aging is
yes.
the exact same as the brain damage seen in most, if not all, common neurodegenerative diseases. So
absolutely the same, yeah.
Tell us about that, this thing that you call excitotoxic brain dysfunction.
Well, to put it briefly, there are two areas in the brain, the hippocampus and the substantia nigra. The hippocampus is in the midbrain and substantia nigra in the brain stem. Now, they both have projections into all sorts of areas, into the neocortex, etc. But they provide two chemical neurotransmitters. In the case of the hippocampus, it's acetylcholine. In the case of the substantia nigra, it's dopamine. Now, when they start to decline, then in the case of dopamine, you start to get the first signs of Parkinson's, which is a passive tremor. That
right.
is, your body tremors when you're not using it. And when the acetylcholine declines, you start to get the first signs of Alzheimer's, or what we call it more now, senility, because we know Alzheimer's is not really one single thing. Senility, because you start to lose your memory. And we know that that happens to everybody, and it starts happening in a measurable way around about age 35.
Okay.
And then that's what the whole focus of this new brain science is about, in inhibiting that. And
okay,
we've got that far, that we know where it is, we know what the chemicals are involved, and
right.
we know some chemicals that will prevent it.
So if we understand that, you know, our hippocampal neurons are responsible for a large part of our memory formation, and we understand that we use this chemical messenger called acetylcholine, would it not make sense for us to supply our bodies, if you will, with precursors like, you know, actual choline? Should the majority
yes.
of us be
yes,
taking
it
that?
Yes, it does make. It makes great sense. But the unfortunate thing is that a lot of people, first of all, are deadly scared that their brain is going down. Therefore, they don't even want to think about it. And when you say everybody's brain is going down after age 35, it makes you feel a lot better because...
it's like everybody's getting fat, so don't worry about it.
That's right. but then you feel that okay, well, maybe there's something that can be done about it. And it's not so scary when you feel that you've got some access to things that may help you. And we know, of course, that all of the drugs that are currently used for Alzheimer's, for example, do provide acetylcholine to the brain.
Right.
The unfortunate thing is that by the time the disease comes to notice, that means the time it is diagnosed, the cells, many of the cells, are dead, and there's no way to bring them back.
Right.
And of course, they don't go into a neurogenesis program. They usually sit in a corner.
Right.
Do nothing. And that's even worse, because it declines faster.
So it's almost like, instead of doing something to protect the cells in your heart, and all of a sudden you have a heart attack and there's no more oxygen that's being present and they're dead, they can't come back to life. But if you protected them in the first place, perhaps they wouldn't have died.
Exactly, and that's why we actually do aerobic exercise to protect the cardiovascular system.
Okay.
So that we can keep the cells healthy.
Right.
But we don't ever think of doing things to keep the brain healthy, at least not yet.
Well, let's talk about these two things. Let's talk about, okay, number one, this the hippocampus, and you're talking about it needs, you know, it has to produce this acetylcholine in order for us to live a long and healthy life and have our brain function intact. So what kind of choline? Because, you know, people can walk into a health food store and become inundated with, you know, there's many different kinds of choline.
Of course, yes. Now, the most effective in the controlled studies is a type of choline called cytidine diphosphate choline. You'll see it in supplements called citicoline, C-I-T-I choline.
Or CDP.
Yeah, or CDP choline, yes.
Right. Okay, and how much would you recommend?
Found effective as a precursor of choline in the brain.
Okay. And what would you recommend for the average person out there if they said, you know, I'm not really noticing any decline in memory or anything, but I'd like to protect my brain. What should they be taking?
Well, that's where we think from the studies that we've got at the moment, which is only 5 years of studies, but they're pretty good, that 500 to 1,000 milligrams a day will, you might say, top up your acetylcholine function. And while the cells are healthy, it will help them to keep healthy or stay healthy. It's exactly the same as say, taking docosahexaenoic acid to keep other tissues in your body healthy.
Right, which is, you're talking about fish oil.
Fish oil, yes.
For
fish
those
oil.
Listening who don't really, who may not know that, the EPA and the DHA. What about for conditions like Parkinson's, where we're losing this, you know, very important chemical called dopamine? You know, we know the precursors, the substances that make it, for instance, one of them is tyrosine.
Yes.
What do you think about tyrosine supplements?
You can use tyrosine and phenylalanine. I think that more evidence has accumulated fairly recently for the use of NADH, nicotine adenine dinucleotide hydrogen.
Okay.
Now, NADH is a natural substance in the body, and therefore it is available over the counter
for people to use. There's been a lot of positive research with NADH with, for instance, fibromyalgia.
Yes, it has a very wide functions in the body, but it definitely has a function in producing dopamine in the brain.
Right.
I presented some of the evidence at Cambridge on NADH last year.
Very interesting. And just so the listeners realize this, what we're discussing today, this is all laid out in Dr. Michael Colgan's book, Save Your Brain. We're going to give you information on how to get a hold of that book. Actually, why don't we do that right now, Dr. Colgan?
Oh, sure.
What's the best way?
You can just go to www.colganinstitute.com, just colganinstitute.com, or you can call and order it right away at 250-537-2089.
Okay, give that phone number one more time.
It's 250-537-2089.
2089. Okay, I thought you almost forgot it there for a second.
I remember you used to take ginkgo.
That's right.
I started taking ginkgo when you first said it to me. I looked up the research and I thought, that's interesting. And that must be 20 years ago.
It was a while ago. Not to date anybody here, because that's not what we're trying to do. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. We've got Dr. Michael Colgan, one of the world's leading nutritional experts, on the line with us today. And we're talking about his new book. He's written several of them, but his new book is called Save Your Brain. We will be right back with more of Transforming Health and Dr. Colgan.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you ready to get freed up? Join Dr. Jennifer Fried, one of America's leading psychological thinkers, for a groundbreaking program with fascinating guests and full participation from you. Freed Up will explore topics like liberation in long-term relationships, parenting in the 21st century, comfort in stressful times, and much more. Tune in to Freed Up every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and wake up to the heartbeat of your life.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
One of the hallmarks of aging is that we experience a precipitous decline in the majority of those tiny little scurrying chemical messengers that we call hormones. What many don't realize is that along with the declining hormone levels, we often experience a detrimental impact on our memory and cognitive function. So that things we used to take for granted, like remembering people's names and where we left the car keys or where we left the car for that matter, well, these things now become tasks. Various hormones, for example, pregnenolone and testosterone, help generate a host of key substances in the brain that are known to affect nerve cell growth and ultimately help modulate our moods. For instance, in my book, Beer Belly Blues, I explain that men who allow their testosterone levels to decline also have nearly a 300% greater risk of suffering from mood disorders like clinical depression. And speaking of hormones like testosterone and pregnenolone, one has no choice but to look at the molecule of cholesterol, as it really is the substance that these very hormones are made from. Here's an interesting fact. About 90% of the cells in your brain are referred to as glial cells, which are really non-nerve cells, meaning they aren't part of the cellular communication network, so to speak. But these cells are a lot more important than we used to think they were. Glial cells contain a lot of cholesterol, and the cholesterol actually enables these cells to secrete molecules that encourage the formation of what we call synapses. These are the tiny structures where messages are exchanged among nerve cells. In other words, cholesterol happens to be fundamental in the formation of memory and moods. Something to think about the next time you hear someone slamming this important substance. He's the author of several best-selling books, including Optimum Sports Nutrition, The New Nutrition, Medicine for the Millennium, Hormonal Health, and the book we're discussing today, Save Your Brain. Please welcome one of the most respected nutritionists of our time, and by the way, the Canadian Sports Nutrition Hall of Fame inductee, Dr. Michael Colgan. Dr. Colgan, you know, I just spoke about cholesterol, and you know, this is one of those molecules in the body that is kind of, we've made it out to be a villain, at least the pharmaceutical association and the medical community has. But if cholesterol is actually as important to our brain function as we know it is, what are your views on, you know, the drugs like the statins that lower it to these ridiculous levels?
Well, I don't think that's a good idea, because cholesterol is essential for life. And we, as you say, we have demonized it because excess cholesterol in the bloodstream causes a lot of problems. But when excess cholesterol is in the bloodstream, it means you've already got enough in your body to do its other tasks.
Right.
And that's unfortunately a function of our diet.
Right. And then obviously there's this research showing that if we lower our cholesterol to very low levels, below 150 milligrams per deciliter, for instance, all of a sudden, we have very different thoughts, very unhealthy thoughts, and sometimes we become much more violent, at least as men.
Yes, because cholesterol helps form a lot of substances, one of them being the sheath, the fatty sheath that enables nerves to conduct impulses correctly. And so you get actually a leakage of information, certainly a leakage of electrical and chemical energy, and that causes a disruption in the brain.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Let's talk about that inflammation. I mean, it's obviously a very well-known cause of brain degeneration. So at the Colgan Institute, what do you recommend for reducing this brain inflammation?
Well, there are wonderful things for reducing inflammation that are part of our natural heritage in that our DNA developed on them and used them to keep down inflammation in the body. And they're pretty simple, really. Most of the herbs that we use for cooking, like turmeric, piperine, cinnamon, ginger, cloves, cayenne especially, are strongly anti-inflammatory. And people don't realize how strongly anti-inflammatory because we don't eat enough of them.
Right.
And then, of course, docosahexaenoic acid is also strongly anti-inflammatory.
So you're saying that a good quality fish oil...
Good quality fish oil, but the classic herbs and the spices are all anti-inflammatory. And for instance, turmeric in the right concentration is more anti-inflammatory than aspirin.
Wow, very interesting. So would you recommend that people just cook more with these spices, or do we need to supplement with them?
Well, you can supplement with them, too. I like people to get as much as they can in their food.
Right.
I know it's not a thing you can do immediately. You can't change to a sort of spicy diet because it will your gastrointestinal system doesn't have the enzymes for it. In fact, it's a joke among us that my wife took her mother to an Indian restaurant recently, and she said, "We'll have the hot dish." And it took them 2 days to recover.
Say no more. When I was growing up, one of my best friends was East Indian, and no offense, I used to dread going over as a kid. His mother would come after school and make us these little snacks, but I just couldn't handle them. My stomach was just imploding
right.
with them. So,
but they're very strongly anti-inflammatory and very. They have some very interesting effects, which are based on our DNA, on the particular DNA sequences that they excite, the particular genes that they cause to express. And it seems that we lived in a very sort of herbally rich environment
right.
when the DNA was developing.
So when you talk about spices, because, a lot of my research into spices is in the natural antioxidant activity. And, I picked this up from some of your earlier books where, kind of in a nutshell, you talk about all of the substances you can extract from various foods and sell to the public. And, yes, they do offer some incredible benefits, or you can actually go and eat those foods that contain hundreds, perhaps thousands of nutrients we haven't even discovered yet.
That's quite true. It's quite true. And they do have multiple functions. Every single thing that existed in our environment, the body used 1,000 times over, tried, the DNA system tried out every chemical there is to see if it could develop a better organism or a more viable organism by using it. And we have incorporated thousands of those into our system that are beneficial to us, but we've only discovered and tabulated and experimented on a few hundred.
Right, right. And I guess the interesting thing about this is if it wasn't part of our so-called evolutionary existence, it's obviously not going to interact very well with the cells of our body.
Absolutely. That's why most prescription drugs, which almost by definition have got to be man-created and not existing in nature, that is why the physician's desk reference has more pages on the bad effects or the side effects of drugs than it has on the drugs themselves.
Right, right. And that's why in a minute commercial, 30 seconds is dedicated to the side effects that are, you know, talked about so quickly the average person can't pick them up.
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, it's very, very difficult for humans, because they don't have the time. I mean, we've only existed for an eye blink, to do all of the work necessary that nature has already done in the DNA, and then the whole new molecular chemistry of life that is started in the around about 2000 is going to be the future of chemistry.
Well, speaking of that, speaking of, you know, how we have not evolved to use a lot of the, obviously, any of the drugs that are available as prescription, what about this thing we call the sick building syndrome and fungicides that are, you know, basically pumped into the air in these buildings that have no openings to them? You know, you talk about Michael J. Fox and
yes.
his development of Parkinson's.
Yes.
And tell us about that.
Well, we know that there are certain fungicides that are used, which cause a decline in the substantia nigra and have been associated, especially in Europe, with very high levels of Parkinson's disease. And it's certainly been traced back to that. Now, Michael J. Fox apparently developed his Parkinson's after being in a particular sealed recording studio in, I think it was Vancouver.
Right.
In Canada.
In the 1970s.
It was thought that, oh, he unfortunately developed, you know, something that was genetic. But then two other people from the same studio developed Parkinson's.
Right.
So the whole idea of sick building syndrome reared its ugly head, especially if we know that certain fungicides do cause it.
Right. So your... what you talk about in the book, Save Your Brain, is that these buildings should really be pumping in oxygen.
Yeah.
You know, especially in big cities like New York, but they're not doing it.
No, it's something that, you know, we have advanced our technology faster than our thought. And because we can build something, should we? That's one reason that I live on Salt Spring Island, because the air is pure, the water is pure, the food is organic, and I want to live a long time.
Well, maybe we'll have you on the show 20, 30, 40 years from now as well. You're listening to Transforming Health with Brad King. My guest today, Dr. Michael Colgan. And when we come back, make sure you have a piece of paper and a pen. You've all heard of antioxidants before. I'm sure the majority of you listening, at least to this show, are on various antioxidants. You might not be taking the right antioxidants, especially when it comes to protecting your brain. We're really going to be concentrating on that when we come back. And we will be back very soon.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner. Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
It's made of fat, a lot of it, in fact. Over 60% of your most prized possession is comprised of specialized fat. So if anyone ever calls you a fathead again, thank them and say, I truly hope you're a fathead as well, and mean it. It's true. A large part of your brain is composed of specialized fatty acids, which your brain uses to create the cells that allow you to think and feel. These are, by the way, the same fats that comprise the brains of your prehistoric forefathers, the ones that enabled them to learn and evolve at such a fast rate. Many of these specialized fats are also similar to the ones you purchase in your health food stores, the ones that need to be refrigerated and protected by fat-soluble antioxidants so that they don't go rancid. This means if your brain is made of these same long-chain fatty acids, well, it too can become rancid, can't it? Well, believe it or not, it actually can. Thankfully, we don't have to stick our heads in our refrigerators to protect our brains from rancidity. There are numerous antioxidants we can take in order to protect our brains from going bad, and we're going to be discussing those next. He holds professional memberships with the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine, the American College of Sports Medicine, the New York Academy of Sciences, the British Society for Nutritional Medicine, and the International Association of Clinical Nutritionists. To discuss his life-changing book, Save Your Brain, please welcome back Dr. Michael Kogan. Dr. Kogan, I said before the break that we would discuss various antioxidants, and you know, I think there really is a misconception out there where people walk into a store and they hear all of the latest research on vitamin C and they go and they buy it, or they hear the latest research on vitamin E and mixed tocopherols and all these other wonderful substances and they go out and buy it and they think they're magically protected. It's not so easy, is it?
No, because antioxidants only inhibit oxidation by becoming oxidants themselves, and they have to be treated with another antioxidant in the body in order to finally reduce them to carbon dioxide and water. So you have an antioxidant chain that you have to fulfill, and it's a chain of chemistry, and that chain is quite complicated. When Linus Pauling first advised vitamin C, we didn't even though he was one of the greatest chemists that ever lived, we didn't understand about it was such a chain before things finally get reduced to harmless substances like carbon dioxide,
right,
that you breathe out, and water. So you have to really put together a mix of things, that a mix of chemicals that the body uses. Otherwise, you get stopped somewhere on the chain, and your so-called antioxidant becomes a prooxidant.
Right, and you talk about, you know, the father of the theory of basically aging itself, or the free radical theory of aging, Dr. Dinam Harman, you know, in the 1950s, and him maybe, you know, realizing he wasn't quite right, because he came out with a new theory many
years
later.
That's right, and that is the current theory, and that is it is particular antioxidants that operate in the brain that are really important, that ones that can operate inside the cell. You see, most antioxidants like vitamin C are extracellular, vitamin E. They can't get into the cell, and yet 90% of all the oxidation processes take place inside the cell. So in 1972, Denman Harmon realized that, and he published more papers, and finally, about 2000, everybody accepted that, okay, it was the mitochondrial antioxidants that were important.
Right, and the mitochondria being the tiny little power centers of our cells.
Exactly. That's where, you know, we are a creature of light. Plants take molecules of light and build it into their structure. And we take the plants, and when we eat the plants, the food allows us to release the light from that structure again and turn it into adenosine triphosphate, and that is our energy.
Right.
And that amazing process creates a lot of spare, you might say, or leakage, oxidation, and all of it occurs at the mitochondria in the cell.
So Dr. Kogan, give my listeners, you know, share with them the research on the right types of antioxidants they should be doing more research on themselves.
Right. So in the, you know, after Denman Harmon had that insight that his original theory, the 1954 theory, was not right, from the 1970s on, there have been thousands of experiments now, and we've come up with a list. Some people would have some things on there, some people would have others, but the list that I give in my book, Save Your Brain, is a pretty well accepted.
Okay.
There's, first of all, R-plus lipoic acid. These are things that can get inside the cell.
Okay, explain the difference, because a lot of people that walk into a health food store, you know, they'll just say, oh, I'd like some alpha lipoic acid or lipoic acid, and
oh,
that's
yeah.
not really
well,
what the right
yes, type. That's, that was an unfortunate thing, because R-plus lipoic acid is a natural substance, but was fairly expensive to produce, so they synthesized it in the lab. But when they synthesized it, the synthesized chemical came out to be half or approximately 50% R plus and 50% S minus. And those two chemicals have a different curve, they twist in different ways. So only the R plus is actually usable by our DNA system.
Okay, and that's why when I put out my multivitamin, my ultimate multi last year, we put out the R-plus lipoic acid.
Well, I'm glad you did.
And a lot of people didn't realize what it was. You know, what's the difference? It's no different than any other. It takes so much education sometimes to get the message across to people, you know, for what the right types of nutrients are that the human body evolved with. And, you know, R-plus, as you said, it's one of the most important. What about NAC, N-A-C, or N-acetylcysteine?
Oh,
how
yes.
important is that?
Well, people used to, and one of the important antioxidants inside the cell is glutathione. Now, glutathione is easy to synthesize, and so people used to take pills of glutathione, and you can still buy them. Unfortunately, glutathione doesn't get through the blood-brain barrier very well, hardly at all. It's not much use. But N-acetylcysteine is the precursor of glutathione. Now, the precursor gets through the blood-brain barrier doesn't stop it at all, so it gets converted to glutathione in the brain and in the brain cells very well.
Right.
So that's...
Now, does it not have a fairly short lifespan within the body?
Yes, pretty short.
So
yeah,
how
that's
many, like,
one,
would you take it a few times
you
a day?
Take it every day.
Right. And that's the same with lipoic acid, right?
Yes.
I mean, it has a relatively short lifespan.
Right.
So you take it multiple times.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also spoke about the CDP choline being very important for the memory centers of the hippocampal neurons in the brain. What about people that say, oh, I take choline, I take lecithin?
Yes, well, lecithin was the first try, you know. That was in the 1960s. And then developed phosphatidylcholine from about 70 to 80 to 90, then phosphatidylserine. And now we know that the best form that's best absorbed and more biologically available is cytidine diphosphate choline. It's just a progression of science.
Okay. And you also speak about a very different form of coenzyme Q10. You know, we saw the ubiquinone, the regular CoQ10. Now we see the ubiquinol, and now we're seeing the idibenone. Tell us about that.
Well, again, it's a progression of science. We knew about CoQ10, you know, 50 years ago, and we developed it in supplements of it and used it fairly crudely. And then we developed the ubiquinone, an ubiquinol type. And finally, the best absorbed that we know at the moment is the idibenone. So it's not that one or other is useless. It's just I like to suggest the ones where science is currently.
Right. Let me just ask you this before we leave our listeners today. There was a recent animal study at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and it was reported in the journal Nature Genetics, and they demonstrated that a reduced calorie diet, not going on a diet, but, you know, this is obviously very supervised, caloric restriction actually protects brain cells from the deterioration that's normally seen in aging. How important is diet when it comes to saving our brain?
I think it's extremely important. I wouldn't advise anyone to go on a, you know, very restricted diet.
Sure.
But if you can, essentially what you're trying to do, that a lot of people, we get so used to, because of our culture, to 3-4 meals a day and snacks. And that was not the way that our body developed. Our body developed in a fairly violent and dangerous environment where if we could get food, we ate it, and then we moved on. So we were fairly lean. We were lean and fast and
right.
hungry. But we're now not lean and fast and hungry now. So
far from it.
When we eat a lot of food, then the body over years is trained to live off the food in the gut. And that is not the way that our DNA developed. Our DNA trained the body to live off the food in its structure. That is, the body to live off its own structure.
So one of
when
the
food was in the gut, that was fine,
right.
but it didn't have to be.
So one of the worst things we can do is overeat. Dr. Colgan, I knew this would happen. We'd be out of time way too quickly for my liking.
Oh, well, can I just say, when I hesitated about the phone number, it was because there's two offices, and the one that readers should call is 250-537-2069.
Okay. Great. So we'll give that out one more time. This is Dr. Michael Colgan we've been speaking to today. Save Your Brain is the book. This is honestly one of the most important books that anybody can read. If anyone wants more information on this, 250-537-2069. Your website one more time, Dr. Colgan.
ColganInstitute.com.
ColganInstitute.com. Dr. Michael Colgan, I really do hope you'll come back and be my guest again.
I love to.
Thank you very much. You take care of yourself. Next week, we're going to be speaking with the famous psychiatrist, Dr. Hyla Cash. She'll be on the show. Do not miss it, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.